No longer do you have to get cash to pay someone back for covering dinner or buying your concert ticket. You also don't have to go to the bank to cash a check. In fact, you don't ever have to go to the bank if you don't want to.
Many Americans are choosing to do their banking online or switching to an exclusively digital bank. Along with that are tons of mobile apps that offer budgeting help, money transfer options, debit cards, and more. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you switched to digital banking, or do you find yourself doing most of your banking online? Do you have questions about all the different stuff that's out there on the market? Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org.
Kimberly Palmer is the banking expert at the personal finance company NerdWallet. She's also the author of several books about money, including her latest called Smart Mom, Rich Mom. Kimberly, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Kimberly, banking is yet another industry that has been impacted by the internet and smartphones. Do we see some of the larger traditional brick-and-mortar banks struggling to keep up with technology?
Well, we do. Basically, there's a huge push towards people being more comfortable with using online banks and going online exclusively for everything they need for banking. And so the traditional banks are really doing what they can to stay competitive. And that often means doing things like offering other services in their bricks and mortar locations. So people that like to be in person for their banking and that high touch banking, people will be drawn to those bricks and mortar banks for those reasons. But for younger people who tend to be more comfortable with online banking, it is hard for traditional banks because, in general, with traditional banks, they tend to offer lower yields on their savings accounts. In some cases, they have higher fees. And so that's where online banks are coming out ahead.
You know, you mentioned traditional banks are now having online banking options, but digital banks are strictly online. How does that work? How do digital banks work, and how do we know we can trust them?
Well, that is a big question, and a lot of consumers still don't feel comfortable moving exclusively online for their banking. Basically, it means you have to have a comfort level with accessing and reviewing your money, tracking your money only through websites and apps. And, you know, online banks have really high levels of security. They have easy-to-use apps, and so it's really about getting consumers more comfortable with using banks. Of course, for some needs, you still need cash. And so that's why a lot of online banks team up with ATM networks. So you can still access your cash for free without paying a fee. So it's not that you're saying you're never going to touch cash again. But the fact is a lot of people have lower need for cash these days. And you can do most of your bill payments, transferring money. You can do so much of that from your phone or your computer.
Now, many people still do value the experience of going to the bank despite the rise in online banking because it's the whole process. It's talking to a teller that they know, talking to other people that are in the bank. It gives them a sense of trust. Do you see trust as a big factor in deciding on a bank?
Absolutely, and that is really the biggest hurdle that online banks have to overcome. They have to basically get people to trust them and feel that their money is safe at those online banks. And of course, in terms of FDIC insurance and making sure your money is insured, you always want to make sure that the online bank is offering that same level of security that a traditional bank is offering. Of course, you don't just want to put your money anywhere. So those are important questions for people to ask. But yes, overall, people are increasing their level of comfort, partly because online banks have been doing so much to assure people, to reassure them that their money is safe.
Kimberly Palmer is a banking expert at a personal finance company called NerdWallet. She's also the author of several books about money, including her latest called Smart Mom, Rich Mom. And we're talking about how personal banking is changing. Aside from offering that in-person experience, are there some other abilities that digital banks still lack that a brick-and-mortar bank still offers?
You know, the only real difference or benefit, the only reason people are still going to traditional banks and resisting online banks is just that comfort level that comes from being able to go in person. I mean, there is something reassuring about being able to walk into a real bank, ask a real person any questions that you have, and plenty of people are still drawn to that. And so that's certainly not going away altogether. But at the same time, the online banks are eating up more and more of the market share of banking in general just because people are feeling more comfortable. But of course, you know, if you want to get a certified check and you need to go get that in person, you probably want to go in person to a bank. There's some things you still can't do online.
How do fees and special offers or even interest rates differ from a digital bank versus brick and mortar?
You know, that's actually a really big difference between online banks and traditional banks, because in general, we find that the highest yields, so the highest interest rates you'll receive on your savings, can be found at online banks. With online banks, we see yields as high as 2.25%. Of course, they're expected to go up and continue rising into the new year. With traditional banks, you're lucky if you're earning 0.1% on your savings. And so that's a huge difference and really a reason why people are going to online banks. They want their money to earn more while it sits there. And then the second factor that you mentioned with the fees, we really see in a lot of cases lower fees with online banks. So for example, many traditional banks, they have a minimum requirement of how much money you keep in your bank account in order to waive out of monthly maintenance fees. Online banks often don't have that. And so in general, you see more fees popping up with the traditional banks.
As you know, imitation is the finest form of flattery. So you see many industries that will do something innovative, and then you will find the traditional ones will try to play catch up. Do you see the brick and mortar banks start to do some of the things that online banking are doing?
Yes, we absolutely see that. I think the best example of that is with peer-to-peer payments. So we saw a huge push with apps like Venmo, PayPal, where you can easily send money to a friend with a click on your app on your phone. And so that was something we saw really blow up. And then, of course, banks started offering that, too, through something called Zelle. So traditional banks got in on that. They didn't want to be left out of that trend of, I mean, people want to send money to their friends with their phones. And so we saw banks jump on that. We also have seen a lot of development of better websites, better banking apps. So at traditional banks, you'll find those same online features, the same app features that you'll find at many of the online banks.
You mentioned PayPal and Venmo. Those names we hear a lot in terms of people sending money to one another. Can they be your bank, or are they more supplemental?
Yeah, they're definitely supplemental. You wouldn't want to be exclusively using those apps because they are really all about sending money to friends and family. And in fact, those apps, like the ones you mentioned, Venmo, PayPal, they specifically emphasize you don't want to use these apps to send money to strangers. So if you are, for example, buying something online and you need to transfer money to someone you don't know, you don't want to do that through those apps because they lack the protection that a lot of the traditional banks offer when you're writing a check or sending money digitally. And so people do have to be careful with those peer-to-peer apps. We hear a lot from people who accidentally send money to someone because they use the wrong phone number or the wrong email, and it can be really hard to get your money back in that situation. So you do have to be careful of that.
Can you talk a little bit about the concept of a digital wallet?
Yeah, a digital wallet is basically, it basically just refers to the fact that instead of pulling out your actual physical wallet, getting a check or cash, you have all of your money online on your phone. So if you go to a coffee shop, you might not even pull out your wallet. You could just swipe your phone at the cash register. And so it really refers to that explosion of all of the digital options we have now for making payments.
Who's using that? Is it mostly young people?
You know, young people do tend to feel more comfortable with digital payments in general. And so if you do look at a breakdown by generation, you do see the highest use among millennials. And then it goes up, or the usage goes down as you look at the older generations. But, you know, at the same time, if you look at baby boomers and Gen X, you see a higher usage over time. So in general, people of all ages are becoming more comfortable with this concept of digital payments.
We have just a couple minutes left, but I wanted to mention that we had a caller that was holding that asked, what happens with senior citizens who are less computer literate and can't use online banking?
Oh, it's such a good question because it's a huge concern. And the good news is that traditional banks are very aware of this issue, and they are working to make sure they can cater to the consumers that don't want to be online. And so you still have options going into the traditional bank. You know, you don't have to get on this digital wallet bandwagon if you don't want to. That might be different in, you know, 10, 20 years, but for now, consumers still have options, and they can choose what they feel most comfortable with. So no one is being forced to go online only.
And finally, are there any changes that you're expecting to see next year when it comes to banking?
Well, basically, we just expect this trend to continue of more people getting comfortable with online banking. Because we're in an environment right now where interest rates are rising, more and more people are taking advantage of that by moving their savings accounts to online banks that pay those higher yields. And so that's the way consumers can really benefit from this.
It's really fascinating stuff, Kimberly. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Kimberly Palmer is the banking expert at the personal finance company called NerdWallet. She's also the author of several books about money, including her latest called Smart Mom, Rich Mom. She joined us to talk about how personal banking is changing.